A listener note, this episode contains adult language. Summer 2019. WeWork employees were in a car driving east. Again. At the best of times, the drive from WeWork's Manhattan offices to the Hamptons is a little under 2 hours each way. It can take twice as long with traffic. But for some employees, they had no choice but to make the drive. Their destination? Adam and Rebecca Newman's $8 million home in the exclusive beachside town of Amagansett. Their house was luxurious. 7 bedrooms, 7,000 square feet, a pool and a hot tub. It was a short walk to the beach where Adam liked to surf. Rebecca's cousin, Gwyneth Paltrow, had a place right next door. But the WeWork employees trekking out there hadn't come for a social call. They were there to meet with Adam and Rebecca on some important business. Project Wingspan. Wingspan was the code name for WeWork's S-1 filing, the key document they had to prepare before they could take the company public.
The prospectus, or the S-1, demands that you put in your financials. It demands that you talk about the corporate governance. What is the business we're in? What is the strategy? And do the numbers match the narrative?
Typically, an S-1 relies on a company's hard financials with charts and growth projections. It takes lawyers, bankers, and accountants holed up in conference rooms for days, poring over the company's numbers. But for WeWork, the numbers didn't look so great. The truth was that the company was losing money hand over fist. And so they took a different approach.
The approach to preparing this document had to be, all right, how do we turn chicken shit into chicken salad?
Adam focused on crafting the company's narrative. Rebecca obsessed over its presentation. She hired a former director of photography for Vanity Fair and personally curated the glossy photos of offices and members that would fill WeWork's S-1. One former employee even told us that Rebecca turned the filing into a version of her cousin Gwyneth's Goop magazine. By mid-August 2019, Wingspan was complete. The S-1 filing was ready for the world. Yes, there were charts and graphs, but there were also artful photos of celebrities like Ron Howard and Arianna Huffington inside WeWork offices. There were shout-outs to the micro-roasted coffee served at its locations. And on the first page, printed on a clean ivory background next to the company's logo, the words, "We dedicate this to the energy of we, greater than any one of us, but inside each of us." Flip past the table of contents, and the first paragraph reads, "We are a community company committed to maximum global impact. Our mission is to elevate the world's consciousness."
I would argue the approach here was, all right, we have to do anything we can to create an illusionist trick and distract people from the underlying numbers and keep this party, this hallucination going before the lights get turned on.
But when the lights did finally come on, what they revealed would shock everybody.
Jeffrey Epstein is dead. Before as many victims, the search for justice is still alive because Epstein had help, lots of help. And on the newest season of Broken, host and investigator Tara Palmieri follows Epstein's survivors as they track down those who enabled and witnessed his crimes to hold them accountable. Broken, Seeking Justice, is a podcast that documents the journey of these women to find out what justice looks like in their lives, including their battle against the government to change how it treats victims of child sex abuse. They're naming names, they're seeking justice, and sometimes they even find it. Listen to Broken, Seeking Justice wherever you get podcasts.
Experience the new season of Business Wars 1 week early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. This season, we dive into the business of wine with The Gallows, whose winery, after trials, lies, and murder, is now the largest in the state of California. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen to Business Wars 1 week early and ad-free. Start your free trial today.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, the host of Business Wars, and this is We Crashed. This is episode 5, the IPO. When the WE Company's S-1 filing came out on August 14th, 2019, Scott Galloway was on his summer vacation. He'd just come back from a run.
And a friend of mine forwarded me the S1 with the term, "You will not believe this shit."
The beach would have to wait.
I had never seen anything like this, and I was just going to have to dig in.
Remember, just 2 years earlier, Scott had caught a lot of flack for his bearish views on WeWork.
At that time, what seemed like kind of an outrageous statement, I said that I thought WeWork was the most overvalued private company in the world.
With the S1 in hand, now it was Scott's turn to go unicorn hunting. He spent the next 2 days holed up in his beach house combing through it. He had seen a lot of filings in his time, but this one was different.
The very first page of the prospectus reads, "Here's to the power of we." And if you read this prospectus, you wouldn't be entirely sure you weren't talking about a pharmaceutical company or a yoga company or a religion as opposed to a company that rented desks.
The first thing he did was run the document through a program that counted up how many times specific words were used. This one's a Scott Galloway special. He did the same thing for S1 documents from other startup disruptors like Uber and Lyft. And for those,
on average, the CEO's name was mentioned between 15 and 50 times throughout the prospectus.
But in WeWork's case, Adam's name was mentioned more often. Way more often.
160 plus odd times.
169 times, to be exact. Often, when Adam's name appeared, it was just his first name.
So rock stars can get away with calling themselves Madonna or Prince, but typically in a financial disclosure document, you refer to people as Mr. Newman.
Scott wasn't aware yet of all the behind-the-scenes stories about Adam. Those would come out in the press later. Still, there was something off about the way the document referred to Adam. It was almost reverent.
There was definitely kind of this Jesus complex seeping into a financial disclosure document.
When he was finished analyzing the document, Scott cataloged all the warning signs.
I wrote a blog post called "We WTF," and I just went through some of these attributes, whether it was, and I call them red flags.
First, the corporate structure was unusual.
The only thing you can learn from looking at this corporate governance chart was that buying a share in WE gave you no rights and maybe not even any ownership in the company.
There were also mentions of financial maneuvers by Adam that, as a private company, WeWork had never had to share before.
There was then disclosure about Adam Newman's sales of stock in the private markets before the company filed for its S1.
Adam had sold a ton of his shares before going public. In fact, the Wall Street Journal had found that over the years, Adam had sold hundreds of millions of dollars of company stock.
It's not that we hadn't seen them before. We'd just never seen anything on this scale. So he's saying, "I've sold as much as I can, but you should buy some." That is, again, these red flags the size of Kansas.
And Adam had also taken some of the proceeds from the sales of his stock in WE, purchased buildings, and then leased them back to WeWork.
This has conflict written all over it. In addition, he had trademarked the term WE as a brand for his family office, and then when it made sense to give it back to the company, sold it back to them for $6 million. These are things that just don't pass a smell test for any reasonable standard of corporate governance. So this company, just on a corporate governance level, just stank.
Even worse, Adam had laid out his own succession plan in a way that gave outsized control to Rebecca.
If he died, his wife controlled the shares and got to pick the new CEO. If he and his wife both were killed, right? Then his kids, the heirs, would have the controlling shares and get to decide who the next CEO was. So you had a level of succession and a level of megalomania that basically said, only my bloodline can decide who should run this company. We'd never seen that before.
But on the most basic level, the numbers just didn't add up. WeWork was spending almost twice as much as it was earning.
The secondary sales, the corporate structure, the nepotism, the cash burn, everything about this added up to a train wreck.
Scott clicked publish, and the post went viral almost immediately.
I thought this was just basically a recital of common sense and kind of basic math, and it really seemed to strike a chord.
Because Scott wasn't the only one who had seen those red flags.
And then it felt like kind of all hell broke loose around WE.
I read the WeWork filing and,
you did read
and
it.
I'm just tongue-tied.
This is a prospectus that probably raises more questions than it answers.
Believe it or not, they lost more money last year than even Uber did.
We have a lot of inside dealing and a lot of that centered around their CEO, Adam Neumann.
The big question the bulls and bears will have to grapple with, though, is does WeWork's financial profile and business model command that multiple of a tech company that focuses on real estate or that of a real estate company that has some technology?
The WeWork party was ending. The press was ridiculing WeWork mercilessly. 3 weeks after the filing, when the damage was impossible to ignore, Adam and his co-founder Miguel McKelvey called an all-hands meeting to address their concerned employees. Employees had been working hard in the hopes of a big IPO payday. Natalie Williams, who worked at WeWork for several years, remembers the anticipation.
Yeah, I mean, there was always talk of that as growth happened.
As Natalie weighed the idea of leaving WeWork for a singing career, the idea of when they might go public was in her mind.
I might be the biggest idiot in the world because, like, in 3 months or, you know, who knows? It could be, like, 2 years. It could be 1 month until they announce that they go public and, like, I'm the person who walked away and, like, man, I should just hold on maybe.
Natalie did end up leaving before the IPO was announced. Now, her former coworkers were gathered to hear directly from the founders what was going on as their IPO dreams were fading. According to New York Magazine, Miguel was calm and conciliatory as he spoke to the staffers. But when it was Adam's turn, he tackled the haters head on. He said people outside the company were being critical because WeWork was disrupting the status quo. When Adam opened the meeting for questions, one employee asked him about what looked clearly like self-dealing. Why had he trademarked the name We and then licensed it back to WeWork for nearly $6 million? Adam notched that up to bad advice and said he planned to give the money back. Why was Adam in such total control of the company? He had an answer for that, too. I rarely give away my power, and when I do, it's to my wife. If employees felt reassured, it didn't last long. The very next day, the Wall Street Journal published a bombshell.
Office-sharing startup WeWork is considering dramatically slashing the cash it's hoping to raise when it lists on Wall Street. The firm was earlier valued at $47 billion, but WeWork's parent, the We Company, might now seek just $20 billion.
Where the real decline started was when WeWork responded that they were willing to take the valuation from $47 billion down to $20. And any individual that's willing to sell shares at a 60% discount a couple weeks later is an obvious indicator that they are in a corner and they are a forced seller. And that's when it really unraveled. That's when we knew this thing wasn't going to get public, and not only wasn't going to get public, but was in a terrible situation.
Now, even Masayoshi Son was warning against going forward with the IPO. He told Adam it would be bad for the company, but Adam insisted they stay the course. Now, WeWork was in a bind. They couldn't back out of the IPO because they needed the money.
No, David, I think a lot of people out who are watching this are saying to themselves, how desperate, what the heck do they need to do the deal for?
Well, they need to raise the money given how much they're spending.
WeWork needed billions of dollars just to keep going, and it was running out of time. Hiring is challenging, you know this, but here's something else you should know. There's a place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. That place is ZipRecruiter. Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a new game artist to grow with her education tech company. But then she switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. And you can too by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/crashed. By using ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter candidates, Gretchen found it easier to focus on the best ones, and then she found the right one. In fact, after posting her job on ZipRecruiter, Gretchen hired a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/crashed. That's ZipRecruiter.com/CRASHED. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks, bestsellers, celebrity memoirs, news, business, self-development, and more. In fact, there's so much there waiting to be discovered. If you listen to every title on Audible, you'd be listening for more than three centuries, unless you dialed up your narration speed. But you don't let that overwhelm you. You don't need to listen to all the amazing titles on Audible. Just start with one, like Malcolm Gladwell's Talking to Strangers. You've probably been meaning to dive into that one for a long time, right? Well, it's a great listen read by the author, and you can get it for free when you sign up today. As an Audible member, every month you get one credit to pick any title plus two Audible originals from a monthly selection and access to daily news digests from the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the Washington Post. To start listening with a 30-day Audible trial and get one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free, just visit audible.com/crashed or text crashed to 500-500. That's audible.com/crashed or text crashed to 500-500.
You just said you think you want WeWork to go away. Is that your call here?
Oh, they should not be going public? I just want it to go away. I mean, I don't want WeWork. I mean, I don't want WeWork at any price. I just think that it's too top of the world, Ma. I mean, I just don't want it.
That's Jim Cramer on CNBC's Squawk Box.
Why do they have to just keep going down? What, it's like, you know, name
they
your
need
price.
Money.
I know, but we don't want to give them money. They're just going to screw up the market.
After WeWork's botched S-1 filing, that was how a lot of people were feeling. By mid-September, the company's reputation was nosediving, and so were the predictions for WeWork's IPO. $15 billion, $12 billion, $10 billion. The company was set to take their IPO presentation on the road, a chance to hype up the stock to potential big investors. They needed to do something to stop the freefall. The day before the roadshow was set to begin, a team of videographers waited around the WeWork headquarters in Manhattan. The producing team had spent weeks putting together a slick video to show investors. They shot everything they needed, except for their interview with Adam. He'd bailed on five previously scheduled shoots. They'd finally locked him down to show up at 10:30 in the morning. He got there 6 hours later, at 4:30 in the afternoon. Finally, Adam stepped in front of the camera. He asked an assistant to play his music, which blasted over the speakers. Drake's Started From the Bottom played as Adam closed his eyes and bobbed his head along to the music. Once he was warmed up, Adam read his script from a teleprompter, but he was easily distracted. At one point, as he read the line, "Post IPO, we're going to have over $11 billion in cash and availability," he stopped himself and exclaimed, "That's exciting! Oh my God, finally something good about this IPO!" For 6.5 hours, he cracked jokes, made strange demands like for food with no color, and he told lawyers in the room he was about to, quote, "fuck shit up." When the shoot finally wrapped, it was nearly midnight. Adam had one last request. He gathered the crew and brought out a tray of tequila shots. Adam raised his glass. "Thank you all for coming, and thank you for staying late. This is a good example of why you should never give up. And that is how we're going to change ourselves. And that is how we're going to change the world." The video for the roadshow, which had the working title, "The Sun Never Sets on We," would never see the light of day. The very next day, Adam met with his investors and advisors. They talked for hours, taking stock of all that was going on. And together, they came to a sobering conclusion.
WeWork is now WeWait, a source saying IPO is on ice for now. WeWork saying in a statement that it expects the deal to be completed, though, by the end of the year, guys.
Meanwhile, bombs continued to drop in the press. The Wall Street Journal published an article whose first line was, "Adam Neumann was flying high," literally. It recounted for the first time a flight to Israel Adam had taken with some friends over the summer. Afterwards, the crew found a cereal box stuffed with marijuana. For investors, it was another worrisome sign that Adam was acting more like a rock star than a corporate CEO. The article also revealed that, quote,
Mr. Newman muses about the implausible, becoming leader of the world, living forever, amassing more than $1 trillion in wealth. Adam was fighting for his life. He needed to rally his support among his closest allies on the board, or he was going to lose the company he'd built.
A company that is losing, you know, hundreds of millions, or a company that's losing effectively about $100 million a week, which is what it was losing at the time of the filing, I'm not sure you can ever pull the nose up. This isn't an enterprise creating value, it's an incinerator.
What would happen to Adam and the future of WeWork? That's on the next and final episode of We Crashed. From Wondery, this is episode 5 of 6 of We Crashed, about what happens when idealism and greed run headlong into business reality. We reached out to Adam Newman and WeWork, but both declined to comment for this series. You can subscribe to We Crashed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want to hear more great business stories, you can subscribe to another Wondery podcast I host called Business Wars, which takes you inside some of the greatest corporate rivalries of all time. And you can get access to both series ad-free on Wondery Plus at wondery.com/plus, P-L-U-S. If you like what you've heard, we would love it if you could give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends how to subscribe. Another way to support us is by answering a short survey at wondery.com/survey. I'm your host, David Brown. Natalie Robomed wrote this story. Heather Schrering reported this story. Sound design by Jake Gorski. Our consultants are Corey Weinberg for the information and Scott Galloway. Additional reporting by Sarah Kessler. Our associate producer is Caleb Bissinger. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer Beckman, George Lavender, and Marsha Louie. Created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Hey guys, I'm Nikki Boyer, host of The Daily Smile. Jasmine Williams found her destiny at just 14 years old.
I just remember it sounded so cool, so dope. It was like rap and MC and monologue and feelings and everything. And that was my first introduction. I said, I want to do that.
Now she's sharing her passion and her art with people all over the world. Listen to Coming Full Circle at the Poetry Lounge on The Daily Smile on Wondery Plus, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.